All right, Sunday morning, 4/24/22. The Prophet's Corner Uncut. The title of this is Irregular Warfare. The Lord is saying here, you entered into warfare in July of 2015. You can add the time you entered here, but that's when we basically started in 2014, but we began to petition the Lord for our nation in 2015. As you began to target the enemy began to target you. You do not need healing. Leave that dead horse alone. Stop whipping the donkey concerning that area. I've already healed you. Now, everything that I have here was already down before you had your little say yesterday about some things, okay? I just want you to know that. I'm not taking what you said, and this is coming from the Lord, me not knowing anything that was going on with you, all right? Okay.
Would you start over?
Would I start over?
Yeah, now that you said that.
Okay, irregular warfare. You entered into warfare in July of 2015. You can add the time you entered here. As you begin, I entered it in about 2010, really. When I really got established on television is when I began to feel that I was being targeted. All right. As you began to target the enemy began to target you. He doesn't fire at people that aren't in this area, messing with him. You know what I'm saying? You do not need healing. Leave that dead horse alone. Stop whipping the donkey concerning that area. I've already healed you. So put this irregular warfare in the right perspective. If we'll look at it the right way. What do you think the military, they trained them before they sent them out into the field for warfare? I wish the church would do that. Because most faint in the day, you know, and they end up turning back because they don't understand what's going on. They think they've missed it or they're doing something wrong. Well, Paul likens us as to a soldier. And so if we were trained in the church how to deal with the warfare and what to expect, it would have done me such a favor if someone, just anyone, would have told me the truth. Now, the Lord taught me and showed me. So now I can teach others and we can see things the right way and not think, well, we've missed it or we're off track. We must be out of God's will. I mean, think about all the ministers that have come and gone from this area that absolutely thought, well, I guess I just missed it because it didn't have a big following or whatever. Man, if I'd have used that, I'd have quit first year. So, anyway, just hear what the Spirit's saying. What you're experiencing are the wounds of war. The best thing you can do is stay in your love walk. Be thankful. Praise me always, which is simply walking in the fruit of the Spirit. We've been over a year now. In fact, we're coming up probably before this series is over. It's going to be 2 years, learning to flow in the Holy Spirit, which is my next teaching after this. This warfare will continue until the devil is thrown in the pit. This is my assignment for you now. I raised you up for such a time as this. Stay the course and continue to stand just as Peter declared. This is 1 Peter 4. This has a few scriptures to look at in it. Verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Well, Lord, I thought you sent me here. Yeah, I did. And I didn't tell you to go, but you did. But rejoice inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. I just saw a picture in my mind. What I saw was those bombers, World War II bombers, going in on those low areas and dropping those bombs. You think they didn't feel any repercussions of those bombs being dropped? Absolutely they did. They probably thought they was going to shake and rattle it out of the sky. I didn't know that. I just learned that. I just saw that in the spirit. The bombardier dropping those bombs. What is it a sign of? You're right over the target and you're hitting him right where it hurts him. What did they do? They got out their flak. See, that's why they wore flak jackets. The bombardiers had on flak jackets. If you're getting flak, you're right over the target. As a warrior, it is to be expected. You are in no harm. Really? It's just illusions of the enemy. Him and his minions are skilled in CGI. CGI. They do it all the time. In fact, they're doing it right now with the puppet president. He goes to shake somebody's hand, his hand ain't there. They film it. Or he'll be walking on the grass and his foot's not there. That's happened a few times. CGI. It's just all smoke and mirrors. It's just all blue beam. Yeah, they're illusions. They're people. It looks like they're there. Even the debates I hear with President Trump, he wasn't even there. This is why you must no longer fight with physical weapons or don't get physical. Physical, get physical. You know, that may sound good when you're exercising, but I'm telling you, in the kingdom of God, it's not about being physical. It's being spiritual. Fight with physical weapons. It's like beating the air when you do fight with physical weapons. You're beating the air. Paul said that. About beating the air. It wears you out. Anybody there? No, this irregular warfare has irregular weapons. You know this, 2 Corinthians 10. We need a new water and fresh spraying here. A new watering. So we're not always saying, what's this strange thing happening to me? You'll know exactly what's happening. Well, I must have blew him to smithereens that time. That's what you'll know. All right, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not means and methods and whatever. They're not carnal, unless the Lord says so, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. These are thoughts. These are those lies. This is that illusion that comes your way. Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. When the devil brings a thought about somebody that's hurt you or somebody's done something ugly to you in your past, you say to him, Lord, I forgive them. I remit their sin to you. I will not lay that charge against them. Is that what Jesus did on the cross? Forgive them, Lord. They don't know what they're doing. When he tries to take you on those journeys of the past, you counter him with forgiven. I forgive. Lay that not to their charge. Help them, Lord. I know they didn't know what they were doing. Praise and thanksgiving and a positive attitude will go a long way in helping you to deal with this irregular warfare. What does praise do? Psalms 8:2 says, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of mine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. And I'm not talking about another rote. I am talking about what naturally comes out of you. These weapons, our swords ought to come out just like a soldier with his gun on the field. When the devil comes and raises his head, we ought to be able to rip out that sword, the sword of the Spirit, and put him in his place. It ought to be natural. Not, well, that didn't work, so I'll try this. No. Does a soldier ever lay down his weapons? Maybe when he goes to sleep, but I bet he's got his arm around it or he's got his hand on close to the trigger. All right, we're going to go to a story, Old Testament story, 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. Good thing about this, it works in the Old Testament or the New Testament. Doesn't make any difference. It's the same. God's ways are the same. It's just we have better privileges than they did because of Jesus. Verse 1 says, and it came to pass that after the year was expired, at the time that kings go out to battle, Joab led forth the power of the army and wasted the country of the children of Ammon and came and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried at Jerusalem. I'm in the wrong book. Second Chronicles. I'm sorry. Second Chronicles 20. All right, verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, well, same people, with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there, that's about these, that's what's the deal about the devil and his crowd. They just always want to fight, be mean and fight. Because they're constantly trying to take over you, your land, everything you own, your children and everything. Isn't that the way it's been? Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. It probably would have been just as easy for him to gather his army together and send his battle people out to battle, and he might have lost them all. But he decided, I'm going to ask the Lord about this. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? He didn't come a-begging, he come a-praising, telling God how great he was. Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? He's just reminding God of his promise. And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against the great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, "Hearken, ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Here is a key. The battle's never supposed to be yours. It's always supposed to be the Lord's. But if you're doing it your way, God's not going to get in your way. Yeah, well, let them fight it out till they are so exhausted they just fall over there, you know. Isn't that what he lets us do? Come to the end of ourselves? He's wanting us to kick in his battle gear, his battle plan, his weapons. "Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jerel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle." You don't need to fight in this battle. The victory is mine when the battle is the Lord's. You do. "She shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites, and the children of the Kohathites, and the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and they should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. They killed each other after they killed... And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Now I know this is Old Testament, but it works. And on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Berachah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the valley of Berachah unto this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. See, we should be rejoicing over our enemies instead of boo-hooing in the corner because we don't know what to do. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets with the house of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. Are you ready for some rest? Round about? See, the other nations, after they saw God's deliverance, they thought, ooh, not touching that. I mean, we can fight man against man, but fighting a God? No, we can't do that. It's the same way. It's the same way with that. Here, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Get his old stinking self out of here. He just makes us stink wherever he goes. Years ago, the Lord said, yeah, he's like an aerosol, isn't he? Just spray that praise, and he just run the stink out. That's crude, but it's true. All right. Get a hold of this, warriors. Irregular warfare at its finest is steeped in praise. The enemy can't stand it. It is time for you to make him so miserable he just doesn't come around anymore. Keep him miserable instead of letting him keep you miserable. Well, we just have to take up our cross and follow him. Yeah, we do. But we're not defenseless. All right. Your view with this type of mentality sets you in third heaven authority, where you are always looking down on the enemy. Think about that. Instead of look like you're on the floor trying to look up to see the bottom of the barrel. All right. When you're higher mentally, you're higher physically. You ever notice that? You get a refreshing, a new attitude. It makes you want to go out and do something and get up and enjoy. Yeah. This is not mission impossible. It's mission possible. You were called and you accepted it. If you decide to accept this, you know, mission. I've told you before that you never give up houses, lands, children, etc., that I don't give back to you in this life 100-fold. So cheer up. It's not the end of the world, but rather the beginning. I'm about to give you beauty for ashes. Think about never having to do warfare again. Ever. No oppression. No even phantoms of sickness or poverty or anything like that ever again. That's the way he wanted it always to be for us. All right, Isaiah 61. I think we need to be very deliberate in everything that happens, that Satan doesn't get a reaction out of us, that we very carefully consider and ponder before we speak and what we say, because we're coming to a place in our walk that our words have become powerful to where we can take out the enemy. God's going to have to be able to trust us that we will keep our mouths right, because it is a two-edged sword. Remember that. Judgment on one side, glory on the other. You don't want the judgment side of that. It's like with Brother Capps. He's, you know, speaking that old boy's car, you're going to fall apart on the road, you know. Or they better do something about that. That house is going to burn down, you know, that kind of thing. And that happened. Stuff like that happens when people get developed in their faith. Now you see why God didn't trust us with much for a long time. Until we reach a certain area in our life that we've learned that those words are powerful, and we need to use it for good and for his kingdom, not for cursing. All right, Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall, listen to this carefully. If this isn't today, I don't know when it could be. And they shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast them yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double. And for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be upon them, or unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery. For burnt offerings and offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. And I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the earth, or as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Does that sound like the thousand-year reign? It does to me. All right, in the Strong's, the word beauty means an embellishment or a fancy headdress. I just thought crown. Ashes means to bestrow. Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, bestrow means to scatter over. It's all coming down. Ruins and heaps of ashes that will blow away as if they have never been here. My kingdom will replace all the desolation of the enemy with beauty. You'll be crowned with my beauty, reigning with me. So start praising me on this side of the river. I taught that way back in the 90s. Praising on the right side of the river. It's easy to praise him once you've been through the Red Sea and you're on the other side. It's easy to praise the Lord then. But when you're not seeing anything you want, that's the time you praise. All right? Praise me like it's already done. Act like it, speak like it, and it will be. You'll look up and there it is. In fact, I believe that's what ushers it in. He inhabits the praises of his people, right? Revelation 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. My armies allow me to fight for them. They do not brag in all their skills. They brag on me. The Lord did this. That's what Jehoshaphat did. The Lord did this. We didn't do this. God did. Psalms 22:3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. You are Israel. In fact, I don't know if anybody, if you've heard it, I think it was Cliff High and somebody else, some of their research, that they found there's really not many original pure bloodline Jews left. They have been so confiscated by the Khazarian Mafia and the Phoenicians, now Khazarian Mafia. They hijacked the Jews. So there's not hardly any pureblood Jews even left in existence, except the church. We are Israel. All right, so think about it that way. You are Israel, spiritual Israel. Psalms 149, turn there with me. Just the first nine, there's just nine verses to it. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. I hope the people that are cleaning up things and doing stuff have this concept in their heart to know you can't do this on your own. God is doing this, and they should recognize it as such. This is God's doing. God is cleaning up. He's doing it. Praises open the heavens and my armies come. You must change your mindset. No longer. I can't make it. It's so hard, etc. But sing my praises and how able I am. It's not about whether you can or not. He doesn't care about that. He wants you to acknowledge he can. He's not asking you to fight in this battle. He's asking you to acknowledge him and praise him and his holiness and his greatness and his strength and his ability. All right. But sing my praises and how able I am. I know that you can't do it within yourself. I never have expected that of you. I want to fight the battle for you, but there are certain things that you're required to do to even be able to qualify. Turn with me to Revelation 19. And these things I heard, a great voice, verse 1, of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth in her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. This is where we're sitting, folks, believe it or not. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he says unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is all what we've been waiting for. Now it's the 10 days of disclosure where we see all these that have done these atrocities. They're going to show us a film of them being served justice. And he saith unto me, These are the true saints of God, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am your fellow servant of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And all this praising of the Lord, what's it done? And I saw heaven open. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of and wrath of God Almighty. This is the battle of Armageddon. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil and Satan, bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him. See what happens when his church has the right perspective? They know they are not fighting any battle. God is fighting the battle. It's the same way with what's going on right now in our nation. This is what's going on in our nation. God is doing this. Nothing can stop what is coming, because this isn't of man. Now, he raised up men to do this and execute judgment, but God is doing this. Our place is the place of thinking, God, you're so mighty, you're so good, you're so able. We don't know what to do. Our eyes are looking to you for deliverance, to show us the battle plan or whatever you want us to do, we'll do. All right, let's keep going here. This battle in progress right now, and you're all part of it. Don't get weary, for you are assured victory. You won't be worn out if you let me fight your battles for you. The only fight I require of you is your faith stand, fighting the good fight of faith, acting like you feel great when you feel awful is a prime example. You ignore what your body says, you ignore what you see in the natural, and you acknowledge, God, your word says, by your stripes, I'm well. And that's a fact. This is the good fight of faith. You're saying, I believe the word over you. Okay. Acts 16. We need to get a hold of this, guys. We don't have time for any more breakdowns, okay? We're getting too advanced in our learning from the Lord. He'll give you what you say. So when you know He'll give you what you say, you best be saying what you want and not what you don't want. Because He will have to honor it. Now think about that. That's scary. There's several Old Testament stories about that. One of them, I can't even remember his name, where he said something. He spoke a vow to the Lord. The first person that comes out of my house, I will present them as a burnt offering to you. It was his daughter, his only daughter. Well, I don't think they literally killed her, but she never married. And, you know, I'm thinking, we need to be careful what we say. We need to guard our words because they are like gold. It's how the kingdom operates. So we want to be saying what we're supposed to be saying, not what we don't mean. Well, I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. Shouldn't have said that. Well, we could get by with that. God winked at that for a time, but He's not going to wink at it and trust you to do great things for Him. Understand that? Okay. This is serious. We're in serious times. All right, Acts 16:16. I don't say that to scare you, but I just want you to take this seriously. It came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which showed us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, and turned and said to the spirit, I command thee, in the name of Jesus, to come out of her. And she came out the same hour. When her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and threw them into the marketplace unto the rulers. And they brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailers to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Can you just hear it now? That, you know what, this sorry government, you know, we just need to do something about this, that sorry old so-and-so over there. Think about the truther movement. A lot of that's a lot of what's going on. Calling out this sorry so-and-so and this sorry so-and-so and all the stuff they've done. No, what did Paul and Silas do? And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were loosed. We need to make a decision whose side we're on. I don't listen to a whole lot anymore, just simply because there's just such a mixture, you just think, no. We need whatever's going to keep us lifted up and on the side of walking in faith and encouraged. That's what we need to listen to. And those programmers that do that. All right. Your praises bring me on the scene. Your good conversation brings me on the scene. Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Where do we faint? We faint in our minds first. And it's downhill from there. All right. This is my thought here. What would happen if we got in a habit of facing every obstacle this way? I believe we would have a lot less weariness, a lot more things would work out, and we would learn to walk totally dependent on the Lord. We're truly snared by the words of our mouth. When we get weary, we begin to say things that start a cycle of what we don't want. Blessing and cursing coming out of the same mouth. If we immediately go to pray zone, we would see the real outcome that we want. I believe that. I really do. All right, a few more scriptures. Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Even when you're about to have a conniption. Always, again I say, rejoice. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, like in the prison, and the God of peace shall be with you. I remember years ago hearing Billy Graham and Gloria Copeland, and I don't even remember what the teaching was about. But Gloria says, people are afraid to listen to the news anymore. But she said, I just tell them, it's because you don't know how to listen to the news. When they say something you don't like, you come back at them and say, no, in the name of Jesus, this is what I decree, and this is the way it will be. See, if everybody would do that, say, nah, I ain't listening to that, nah. So you can get informed and you can counter. That's what she says. She said, that's how I listen to the news. I think that's a good plan. All right, now 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Well, verse 5:16 says, rejoice evermore. 18, in everything. Everything, Lord? In everything. It didn't say for everything. It says in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If we really did it this way, we would see a change of our current situations. I do believe so. We walk by faith and not by sight. We can have heaven and earth anytime we want when we walk by faith. This is the kingdom of God, y'all. We choose to think on the good report and not what is happening to us physically or mentally, but we focus on our spirits where all good things are. See, God resides in us. That's where all good things are. We are complete in Him. It is up to us if we choose to tap into it or not. That's Colossians 2:10. And you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. The devil bugging you and messing with you and giving you grief. Well, the one in you is greater than all principality and power. If we really did this, we would see changes. I believe that. All right, Galatians 6:17. Paul said this, From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. We're soldiers. Right here, marks. A stick, prick, a mark incised or punched, scar of service. Think about that. One more scripture, 2 Corinthians 4. You could say, all for God and country. We do what we do for the love of God and country. 2 Corinthians 4:1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, and faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. If there's anything that I would focus on this morning, it's the power of God in us. It is not us. It's learning how to draw upon the power of God in us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not to the things which are seen, but to the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This is how Paul did it. He chose to look at that that was eternal and not to look at what his body was experiencing, the experiences he experienced. He learned to tap into the greater one in him. God fought his battles. Even though he had battle wounds. Just remember the word, the prophecy at the first. Right here, let me read it again. Regular warfare. You entered into warfare in July of 2015, or whenever you entered your date. As you began to target the enemy began to target you. You do not need healing. Leave the dead horse alone. Stop whipping the donkey concerning that area. I've already healed you, so put this irregular warfare in the right perspective. What you're experiencing are the wounds of war. The best thing you can do is to stay in your love walk, be thankful, praise me always, which is simply walking in the fruit of the Spirit. This warfare will continue until the devil is thrown in the pit. I read you, Revelation 20. This is my assignment for you for now. I raised you up for such a time as this. Stay the course and continue to stand, just as Peter declared. Don't think it's strange.